Frank Petronelli, that was his name. Petronelli. I guess my Italian is as bad as my Spanish and my Kiswahili. But anyway, he walked into a meeting. I mean, it was a lion's den. It was. I never forget the meeting. It was over at Windsor Village Church. Something had happened at HIT. I don't remember exactly what it was. Smooth Frank walked in this joint. He walked in this joint. I mean, this boy was like the Clyde Beatty Circus, man. You talk about the Universal Circus. You talk about the Clyde Beatty Circus. You talk about Circus Soleil or whatever that other circus is called, the French Circus. Man, he walked in there, man, with a whip, a chair, and a pistol. Man, he had them lions sitting up there with balancing balls on their head. I said, oh, man. I shook my head. I said, man, I never seen Negro, so-called Negro leaders. I was so embarrassed that this one white man, what, it reminded me of them Tarzan movies. Black man been in the jungle as long as there's been a planet Earth. I mean, we grew up with the animals. I mean, come on now. We've been down in the jungles of Africa for 50,000 years at least. Because the whole planet Earth is our home. Africa just happened to be our throne. But the whole Earth is our home. And one white man crashed in an airplane. It's Tarzan. Grow up in the jungle. Black man can't get his dog to roll over in Africa. I mean, you know, he can't get his children to go out and pick up sticks for a fire. But this one white boy who crashes in there, grows up in the jungle, can go, oh, and the hippopotami and the elephants and the crocodiles jump into the water just because Tarzan can do that. I mean, come on, man. This is a bad, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it reminded me of. Frank Petronelli walked up in that bad boy and had everybody up there. He walked out of there, man, unscathed. I just shook my head. I said, man, that boy's smooth. Opportunity to be representatives on whether it's Metro Board or this commission or that commission. I want to remind you what Dr. King said in Black Power Defined that he wrote in 1967. He said the problem or the dilemma of black leadership is that what you have turned out to be is the white man's representative to the black community, instead of the black man representative to the white power structure. And unfortunately, this is what we find. We find ourselves, we get appointed to these boards, and somehow we come as apologists to our community for what we have and have not done. We come as apologists for policies that ill affect the community that you come from. Instead of you being at the table and advocating for our hurt and the harm that potentially can come out of some of these policies and actions of government, what you do is you just sit there like a bump on a log and you get caught in the cross. And you wind up becoming one of those yard Negroes. See, Malcolm talked about the field Negro and the house Negro. The house Negro, of course, you know, he gets all the benefits of being in the house and this, that, and other. Field Negro, he's out in the hot sun picking the cotton, wearing a burlap sack. The house Negro gets to wear the master throwaway clothes, the throwaway food, his spare ribs, and all that kind of. He gets all that benefit. But there is this new class of Negro called the yard Negro. The yard Negro ain't never going to be allowed in the house, and he don't want to go back to the field. So what he does is that he listens to what the field Negroes are saying. He threatens the house Negroes and the master with what we going to do. But if the house Negroes help the master to overcome the field Negroes, then the yard Negroes will say to the house Negroes and to the master, see, I was with you all the time. But if the field Negroes are successful in overcoming the house Negroes and the master, then the yard Negro will say, see, I was with y'all all the time. So you yard Negroes, be careful. Because, look here, they ain't never going to let you in the house. And we in the field definitely know that you in the yard raking the leaves. You ain't in the house, and you ain't out there with us. You like raking them leaves under the shade tree. And that's what you are, shade tree activists, afternoon activists, part-time protesters, you know, radio revolutionaries, that kind of thing. You don't want to put in the work. But all of a sudden, now we see you just jump up. Now, all of a sudden, you're a leader. Leader of what? You haven't put in the work. You got to put in some work, some hours, in order to be recognized as a leader. We're not going to have no more manufactured leaders. That's coming to a close. The subject of immigrants, illegal immigrants, and that kind of thing. Then Goliad, Texas, the leader of the Texas Minutemen resigned, saying, one, that they were disorganized, two, that there were some racist elements inside of the Minutemen, like I said, some closet Ku Klux Klanners. And then that also they were undermining the authority of the sheriff in Goliad, Texas, who happened to be Hispanic. Now, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Like I said, the Minutemen. What the Minutemen need to do, instead of coming down and filming these day labor pools, what they need to go is film the damn lobbyists. I said damn again. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Film these darn lobbyists that are going into the Texas legislature that are causing them not to be able to pass a school finance bill or a property tax cut. That's what you need to do. You want to film some illegal activity, some illegal immigration? You ought to see these lobbyists that are immigrating into the Texas legislature to tie up and amend a bill that was to protect our personal property from the power of eminent domain for the purpose of economic development, to protect us. Your and my legislator up there somehow could not come to an agreement or deal, but they had Katie Barr to the door when it came to passing a raise in their pensions and a raise for the judges that put us in jail or give us these $1 settlements when we walk around here broken up after accidents or we're in wheelchairs. Well, we thank you for that. I see you could agree to that. You got that passed. But immigrants, the lies that's put out on immigrants is this. He said immigrants are not swamping the U.S. healthcare system and use far less than native-born Americans, according to a study released Monday. The study published in the American Journal of Public Health found that immigrants accounted for 10.4% of U.S. population, but only 7.9% of total health spending and 8% of government health spending. Health spending by the government, insurers, and patients themselves averaged $1,139 per immigrant compared to $2,564 for non-immigrants. 30% of immigrants use no health care at all in the course of a year. Immigrant children spend or cost $270 that year compared to $1,059 for native-born children. And I'm quoting the University of Southern California saying, our study lays to rest the myth that expensive care for immigrants is responsible for our nation's high health costs. The truth is, immigrants get far less care than other Americans, unquote. Uh-huh. Now, in today's Chronicle, the Houston Chronicle, Hispanic workers changing the face of Dixie. This is very interesting. The growth in Latino population was even more dramatic at the county level. This is in the South, in terms of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Arkansas, which had relatively small Latino population before 1990, but saw them triple, at least triple by 2000. The growth in Latino population was even more dramatic at the county level, exceeding 1,000% in some counties and 500% in many others. For now, employers, listen very well, this is the point I was trying to make last week. For now, employers in the region are happy to have dependable source of low-cost labor. Listen now, available to them, the researchers wrote, noting that the first wave of immigrants in the Southeast tended to be young, unmarried males. I quote again, as the new immigrants grow older and utilize more health services, and as more wives join their husband, the demands they make on public services will increase. But so, too, may their contributions to the tax base. So, I'm not saying that I'm for illegal immigration. I'm not really saying I'm for that. But what I'm saying is, instead of spending your energy going after the day laborers, going after the Hispanic population, which is just another way of fighting, you trying to fight Urkel, why don't you take on Mike Tyson? Let's take on the lobbyists that go in and cause our corporations to send our business overseas. Why don't we take a real hard look at this CAFTA agreement and how it's going to affect labor and the jobs that we all aspire to, which are jobs with benefits? Come on now. You don't have to be no educated person to want a job with some benefits. There was a time when a man could have a blue-collar job in this country, not have a high school education, not have gone to college, and could take care of his family. His wife could stay home. He could be a natural man. But the way that they have raped and robbed this country, stolen our pensions, misspent our money, the union is having a fight within itself right now because they have not come up to the modern times and faced the modern issues that, in fact, this country's manufacturing base has been stolen out from under us. And a country that doesn't make anything ain't a country at all. So y'all can clamor and cry about what China's doing and all of that. Is that I just want to let you know, don't be upset with me. I'm just telling you that America is in her twilight now. And the only way that we'll be able to live in a world that's full of people who are dark-skinned, who majority live below the equator or on the equator or live in the southern hemisphere, that come from the east, meaning the old world, the oriental world, instead of the occidental world and the west, which is an aging population and having increasing difficulty, is it that you got to share the wealth of this world with those who don't have, because then we can make a better world that way. So enough of me on that time. You know, people suicidal. Oh no, another soul has lost control. He put him back into the fold. He got strung out on the material, all the superficial initials upon his clothes. They make me wanna go spree. Well, every time I see my family locked in jail, the economic can be demonical. Oh, keep loving yourself. No matter where I roam, well, we know every single soul is a poem. It's written on the back of God's hand. No matter where I roam, well, we know every single soul is a poem. It's written on the back of God's hand. You see, people are so beautiful in love. That's why I'm reminded of life's precious moments every time I see lovers walking by in the park. Close my eyes and I stop, reminisce. See a little baby sucking on his mama's milk. These silky smoothness of a loving caress. Hold the baby to breast and blessing the world with another to test, test, test. Oh yes, oh yes, bang, bang. I like to sing a little song dedicated to the people who would like to sing along. Cause every little song is little beats and notes. Like every little lake is little trees and boats. All people deserve a safe and warm.